If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head, bear witness of God's Word. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. We ask to see it every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, but the testimony of God's Word and being our authority, we always need to be able to say that we're going by God's Word today. You may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. You don't want to pull out any chapter in the Bible and say, hey, this is a better chapter than another chapter. But John chapter 15 probably has 1,000 sermons in it. I mean, it's an amazing chapter of the Bible where we get to see Jesus, first of all, begin to talk about the vine and the branches. He's talking about being the true vine. And then he's talking about being connected to him. And it all leads into this connection that we have with Jesus. Like, we have to be a part of him. We can't just stand outside of him and accept him at some certain time. And then he goes from the sermon about being the vine and the branches to this place that we're going to read today. We're going to begin in verse 12. And actually, just to catch you up to this, he's telling these disciples, those that are listening to him here, that you have to be connected to him, and you really show being connected to him by doing what he asks you to do. You can't just pick and choose the time you want to do what he asks you to do. He's telling them that they need to keep his commandments, because his commandments are actually God's commandments. And he was sent here to be the one that was going to bring them to God, and they have to be connected to him in order to be connected to God. And then he tells them, these things I've spoken to you so that your joy might remain in you, so that your joy might be full. And so we pick up on this in verse 12 after talking about the reason. He told them this so that they could have joy. How many people want joy? Amen. All right, we suffer through each week in periods where our joy seems to go up and down, but he's saying this so that we can have joy. Listen to verse 12. I want to read 12 through 17. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Say that word with me, friends. Friends. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So if we read this passage of Scripture here, we see that Jesus talks about calling us friends and how we're supposed to love one another. These two are tied together emphatically. How we're supposed to show our love and how we're supposed to consider our friendship with him. Now, I have to admit, in this sermon, I was inspired by two songs. One's an older song and one's a more contemporary song. You ever get a song in your head? And just singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" some time ago. And "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And then as you go through and you're listening to the words, talking about all of our needs and our cares, he bears, that we can carry everything to him in prayer, that we can go to him. And so I began to think about just that, the friend. Am I using him as a friend, not as some supernatural being that's up here that we're praying to, this unreachable, untouchable Jesus, but my friend? You know how it is to talk to a friend, right? A true friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And then there's a newer song called "I'm a Friend of God," right? And so as I began to hear that, "I'm a friend of God, I'm a friend of God. He knows my name," right? And so I felt pretty good about it, and then I began to consider, what kind of friend am I? I know what kind of friend he is, what kind of friend am I? So I began to look and see the importance of the friend relationship that we're supposed to have. So I'll ask you to begin with, have you ever had someone in your life that you considered to be a good friend? Have you? Maybe you do now, but have you ever had somebody in your life you consider to be a good friend? Now, we're going to go here because I want you to think about the people groups in your life. Are you ready? Some of you have to go back a ways, all right? We're going to ask you to compile this list in your mind, but the friend groups you've had in your life. Now listen, have you ever, number one, had someone in your life that you considered to be a good friend, but then realized that they were not really a good friend? They were more of just an acquaintance. Someone that you happened to be around regularly. There was no depth to your relationship. Well, that's called what I want to call today an acquaintance friend. An acquaintance friend is not really a good friend. They're an acquaintance friend. They come in your life. They go out of your life. It doesn't depend on your friendship. It depends on your job change, your school change, your neighborhood change. Or, you know, understand what I'm saying? You thought they were your friend. Like right now, I listen to people that are in high school and listen to people that are in college. Say, man, these guys, these people, these are my friends. These are whatever. And as your life changed and their life changed, you'll never speak to them again. You'll never see them again. You'll never talk to them again. And you will find out they were acquaintance friends because you happened to go to school together. But right now, it seems like they're your friends. Older people that have been through this, can I get a witness? Does this happen? Okay. Have you ever had someone that you considered to be a good friend, but then found out that when you had a crisis or problem, they were not really there for you? They were there if everything was good, but then when you had a problem, you know, they weren't the friend that was going to help you deal with the problem. So we're going to call those fair weather friends. They're there when everything's good, but if something's bad, they've got enough to deal with besides your drama. And so we'll call those fair weather friends. And then have you ever had a friend or someone that you consider to be a friend, a good friend, that friend would have times of need? And boy, they would be going through something and they would call you. And I'll tell you, it was, hey, what am I going to do about this? And hey, I just need to talk to somebody. And can you help me with this? And you were there for them. They had these issues going on and you listened to them. You're there for them. You're there for them in their time of need. But then when you needed them, or when things straightened out for them, or when you needed them just to listen, they were too busy to be that friend that you needed. It was amazing that the friendship was so constant when they were in the time of need, but it's been a while since they put any effort to even acknowledge when everything was fine. And then especially if you needed something, they just were not there. This kind of friend is only a friend if it's convenient for them to be a friend. These friends are takers. They're not givers. They're takers. They will take of your time. They will take of your talent. They will take of everything that you are willing to give. But they are not givers. They won't give in to the relationship. We call these convenient friends. Are we hitting anything in your memory where you can put people in these positions? Is this getting through? Is it? Have you ever had someone that you consider to be your good friend and they were nice when they were around you, but then you found out that when they were with another person or group, they stood against you when that group stood against you? Now, this friend wouldn't stand up for you. They actually joined in with the person or group that went against you. This friend was really not real. You can always tell this kind of person, even in the group that you're in, when this person says, don't tell them I said this, but if you have somebody that's telling you that, understand that when they're in the group apart from you, they're going to say that about you. Always listen to that. Don't tell them this, but this friend's not really real. They were basically hypocritical. Sometimes they talk with others to actually make you look bad by criticizing something that you've done, but while they're around you, they appear to be supportive of you. We'll just go ahead and label these fake friends. Has anybody ever had experience with any of these friend groups? If you have, raise your hand. And then there are good friends that truly care for you. They're interested in what's going on with you. They truly are interested. And you have a depth to your relationship. It's not just surface. They're not just an acquaintance. They're a close friend. They stick with you and they're there for you when you have troubles in your life. They're not fair weather friends. They're all weather friends. They're consistent friends. They don't mind inconveniencing themselves for you because they're unselfish. They're unselfish with what they have, and they're more interested in giving towards your friendship than taking. These are unselfish friends. They're faithful to you. They won't speak against you. They'll stand up for you when someone wants to speak against you or do something against you. These are true and faithful friends. Now, before we go any further, you might say, well, you know, this person is not all those things. This person is not all those things. Now, I want to tell you that you'll realize when you get a little bit older, there's not a lot of people that fall into all these categories in your life. You might not be able to get over one handful of people that you know after all these years that truly are like this. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't like that person. They're enemies. It's just that's a small group in your life if you think about it. How many people can you put in all those categories? Everybody. I mean, don't go out of here upset because, okay, well, this person isn't this to me, because nobody has a bunch of people that are in those groups. So a friend, by definition, is someone who has affection and regard for another, according to Webster. Someone who has an affection and a regard for another. And the translation of this word friend, as we see it in our text, is someone who loves. Now, here's a different definition. Definition of friendship is a relationship of mutual affection and goodwill. Friendship. So we went from friend to friendship. Now, this is important. I want you to really listen here. Really listen good. You can have someone who is a good friend to someone else, but it takes two good friends to have a good friendship. You say, well, this is elementary. No, it's not. Do you realize how many people are stumbling over this all the time? You can have someone that's a good friend, but it takes two people to have a good friendship. One good friend and one bad friend is not a good friendship. That's a bad friendship, right? Remember, it takes two good friends to have a good friendship. So we've talked about all these different kinds of friends that you may have had. Now here's the question. Now that you've scrolled through all these groups in your mind, you've put all these different people in categories, here's the question. It is so easy for us to think about those people we want to put in those categories. How many people in here today, in your mind, when we've thought about these different kind of groups of people, how many people in here have thought about different people in your life and you sort of categorize them today? Please tell me that you're listening to the sermon and you've done this, okay? Have you done this? All right, now, question for you. Hard question. But this is what I was inspired to as I was listening to these songs, because, of course, it is so easy for me to categorize all these different people. I'm going to ask you this question because this is where it hit home. Name of the sermon, title of the sermon. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Now, wasn't it easy to think about everybody else? Wasn't it? Now, let's stop thinking about them. Okay? Remember, two people to have a good friendship, no matter if you had dozens of these, what kind of friend are you? Now, we're going to look at it in two parts. Number one, what kind of friend are you to other people? What kind of friend are you to others? And then number two, what kind of friend are you to God? Well, that was the second song, I'm a friend of God. Am I? Am I a friend of God? God and I have a friendship? Well, yeah, he's done his part. What about me? Am I a friend? What kind of friend are you? You know, Proverbs 17:7 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends, listen to this, must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I have people a lot of times that I'm talking to, and there's like, I just feel, you know, I just don't have any friends. I mean, I'm not connected. Nobody has friends. Okay, here's your first question. Are you friendly? That's going to stop the conversation right there and lead you in a good direction. First question to ask. Of course, I'm taking this from the Bible. This is not a Dr. Phil. This is not some psychiatrist thing. I'm asking you the question, are you friendly? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And a good friend does stick closer than even a brother. A good friend. You see, God wants us to be a good friend. That's why we're asking the question today. Are we a consistent friend that shows himself friendly? Are we a good friend? Are we friendly to others? Are we friendly to God? You see, these characteristics of a good friend are exactly the way that God wants us to act toward him. I mean, think about it. Close to him, right? That depth in the relationship. Consistent with him through good times and through bad times in our life, right? Unselfish, willing to be a giver, not a taker. And then true and faithful, standing with him when others stand against him. And then God wants us to treat each other with this same kind of love. Not just treat him this way, but others with this same kind of love. This friendship love. And he talks about this friendship love. It's a different kind of love. We need to be good friends to each other. We really need to have good friends to be a good friend. You have to. Or to have good friends, you have to be a good friend. You see, I want to go back to this friendship thing. You see, it takes two. One of the most visual, I think, visual scriptures in the Word that help us to see how much we need somebody else in our life. Like, you are not on some solo mission through this life. You are not some renegade that's going through, and God's got you on a mission and you're good by yourself, and here's what I'm doing, and I don't need people. I'm not good around people. I like to do my own thing. Beware. Anybody that's saying that kind of thing, you're probably not a good friend. I'm not good out here. God designed you to be out here. I'm not saying that you have to have people over at your house all the time, but there's a big difference between saying, I'm just not good with other people. I'm going to go do my thing. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in Proverbs 27. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. Say that with me. Iron sharpeneth iron. So as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now this is a beautiful picture because iron has a certain metallic makeup, right? You can't sharpen iron with clay, can you? With a brick, can you sharpen iron? No. You have to have something that is the same density, the same metallic makeup, so that if it goes against each other, it will sharpen, and it will sharpen, and it will sharpen. Now, if that metal is thin, you might be able to rub it on something, but an iron of consistency, it only can be sharpened with something that's just as thick consistently and made up the same way. Now, it takes the two pieces of iron, right? It's talking about friendships. We need that in our life. You are not going to be good all the time. I don't care what you think of yourself. You'll have moments when you are not the strong one. You're the dull one. And you know what you'll need? You'll need a friend, another piece of iron. And there'll be times when that person is not the strong one, and you'll need to be that piece of iron. And then, of course, you need several relationships like this because, well, what happens if you're both on a dull time? Iron sharpeneth iron. And he's giving us that picture. So I guess if I have to choose one friend that I know is going to stay sharp all the time, I would choose the friend that I have in Jesus. Then after that, then we'll start working on the other list, right? So we see that God continued to give us examples throughout his word. He let us see good friend situations, bad friend situations. Do you remember, who would you say, let's just say, who would you say were the greatest group of friends that Jesus had while he walked on the earth? Who would you say? Somebody tell me. The disciples. Everybody agree? The disciples. And who was the main disciple that we hear about all the time? Peter. Peter's our one who's out front. He is the man. He's the voice. He's the one that's doing it. But Peter and the disciples, if you think about them, like you can go back and reference Matthew 26. You know, Jesus told his disciples some bad news. He said, things are going to happen and I'm going to have to leave and you're going to be tempted to leave me. And Peter said, no matter what happens, I won't ever leave you. I won't ever fall away from you. You can go back and read sometimes, verse 31 through 35, and you'll listen how adamantly Peter said that. And then Matthew 26, verse 57, as Jesus was being tortured and was taken to trial in front of the religious leaders, we read this verse 57 of Matthew 26. Just listen to this verse. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What happened to his friend group? They weren't too faithful, were they? They weren't too consistent, were they? They weren't too unselfish, were they? They weren't too giving, right? Now, these disciples and Peter were really not good friends of Jesus or acting like good friends of Jesus, even after Jesus had told them. And he gave them plenty of examples to tell them how to be a good friend. He talked about it a lot. See, this happened after he gave them these messages in John 13, John 15. Peter got it. He didn't get it that day, but he got it. You can read over in the book of Acts where old Peter was in the same kind of situation himself. And he had a friend in Jesus. He was locked in a prison. There was no way out, sleeping in between guards. And all of a sudden, the angel kicked him and said, get up, Peter. Peter was sleeping while he was going to be killed. Herod was killing people left and right. He was next, and Peter was sleeping. He didn't have a care in the world. Why? He had a peace that came from being a friend of God. Amen. How many people know there's a peace in being a friend of God? Amen. In John chapter 13, with a couple of chapters before we read this, Jesus was saying, in verses 33 through 35, he was saying, I'm going away and you guys can't come. So what he was doing was asking them to represent him by being a good friend to me and being a good friend to others. If you love one another as I've loved you, then these people will know that you're my disciples. And this was John 13. Listen just to these couple of verses. We're not going to preach on this, but I want you to see this is not the first time that he told them this in John 15. He talked about this a lot. Listen, he says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So he was saying, people are going to be able to identify that you're a friend of mine if you're acting the way I acted. Does that make sense? So in John chapter 15, where our text is, Jesus begins to show us how loving somebody, the way that he showed his love, relates to being a good friend. So we've read verses 12 through 17. I want to show you some jewels in these verses. In verse 12 of John 15, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. It seems like a simple verse. When we hear about the love of God, of course, immediately I begin to think about in the book of 1 John. And so I don't ask you to turn to 1 John, but I'll read 1 John to you just so that you can understand what he's relating to. This is the same kind of love. 1 John chapter 2. Let me read a couple of verses and you'll understand what he's saying. Verse 6 through 12 of 1 John, he says, he that saith that he abideth in him ought also himself so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, this new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and true light hath cometh that shineth. He that saith He is the light and hateth his brothers in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. For he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither to go, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, and you are his namesake. So, understand that the general principle that Jesus is telling them and what John is being able to back up, being somebody that was in the presence of Jesus. He's saying that basically we have to walk the way that Jesus walked. Then he's saying that Jesus was the light of the world. And now, yes, you had old commandments, that since Jesus came and gave us an example of how to walk and how to be a friend, we're supposed to follow his example. And that is called light. And if we choose to show love, then we're showing light. We're walking in light. And another pretty good picture is you don't stumble when you're walking in light. Now, I've given this example before, but I walk in here early in the mornings on Sunday morning. It's always dark. And if I walk in here early in the morning on Sunday mornings, there is an occasion. And I've got a little thing. I'll come in this door and I'll walk to those light switches right back there, because I can't stand those light switches to be turned on, because it messes up the whole grid. If somebody turns that on, all those aren't off and all those aren't on. That's my battle. We'll deal with that later, right? But I walk back to those light switches. Do you know that every now and then someone has a chair out in the aisle a little bit? And my shin will catch that chair. Because I'm walking, I can sort of know the path I'm going to walk through there, but that chair's out. You know why I'm hitting that chair? I've never hit that chair when the lights were on. I hit that chair because I'm walking in darkness, right? And that's what he's saying. Without this light, we're going to stumble. We're going to go through this world in darkness. He says, now that Jesus has come, you've been given a blueprint, a pattern to walk and act like he did. And so he says, now that you have it, you need to be able to act like he did. So I ask myself the question, am I being the friend to others that Jesus was? Am I unselfish? Am I giving? Am I loving? Am I true? Am I faithful? This would be the time that you're asking yourself the same thing. And then when we get to verse 13 of John chapter 15, our original text, he says, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. This is a reference to the example that Jesus exemplified by laying down his life to be sacrificed on the cross so that others could live. This is the picture of unselfishness that he gives us so that we can be called a friend. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friend. Okay, so let's think about Jesus as a friend. Remember friendship? How many people does it take to have a friendship? At least how many? At least two, right? So we're going to go ahead and qualify both parties. You're going to be a party, and then we're talking about our friendship with God, so we communicate with God through Jesus, so let's qualify God. Now, what did Jesus do? The kids answered this, to show his friendship for you. What did he do? Well, he gave all that he had, even to the end of his life. And he didn't have to. Every stripe he took, every beating, every mocking, he was thinking about you and me. Now visualize this. As his friend, I have to do this for my friend. Every piece of spit that dropped in his face, that he could have called 10,000 angels to say, wipe these people out, because he wanted to be your friend, he took it. I would say he did his part, wouldn't you? That only leaves who to qualify? Me. Let's say it. Me. Yeah, don't say you. Me, right? We're going to talk about me. Now, Christians are called to exemplify this same love that Christ had in their lives by being willing to sacrifice themselves for others. To sacrifice in order to give to each other. So what do you mean sacrifice? Well, are you willing to sacrifice your resources as a friend of God? And as a friend of others, are you willing to sacrifice your resources? So what are resources? Oh, anything that you have. possessions, to money, to whatever it is? Are you willing to sacrifice and give your time to be a good friend of God and to be a good friend of your friends? And we're looking at it in both. You say, yes, sir, that's why I'm here at church every Sunday. And God appreciates that hour and a half out of the 168 that He gives you. And that's why we have several services through the week, so that you can give Him more time to worship and sing and praise Him. But if your friendship is based on that good hour and a half that you've given Him and you're good with that, then that's good. And anything extra, your prayer time or Bible study time, what kind of sacrifice are we giving in our time to God and to our friends? You ever had that friend that's just always too busy whenever you've got something going on? But boy, they will blow you up when it's on their end. Is that a good friend? No. Oh, that's right. We're not thinking about others. When have we been that friend? And our attention. Be able to sacrifice our attention. You know, I can't stand really, and you might be the same way, to be talking to somebody, and when you're talking to them, they're looking somewhere else, or they're on their phone, or you can't get here, or they're here and they're there, and I would just as soon not talk. I just think it ought to be an eye-to-eye thing, you know? You can't even get your attention for a minute, you know, just forget it. And I wonder how many times God's looking at us in our friendship and saying the same thing. Could you please put it down and focus on me? And then our convenience. Are we sacrificing our convenience for Him? Well, I would do it, but I've got all these other things going on. And yeah, I mean, that would be a good thing, but I've got to get this and this and this. You know, no matter what we say, God knows what we really have to do and what we really want to do. I'll just leave it at that. And most all of us are geared to be able to benefit our own convenience. Do you know when you start sacrificing your convenience, doing the things that are inconvenient, that you'll begin to see the blessings of God? He really inconvenienced Himself to make sure that we could be friends with Him. And in verse 14, I love this. He says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." This is John 15. Are you a friend of Jesus, I ask you at the beginning of this? Are you a friend, a good friend? What kind of friend are you? So are you a friend of Jesus? See, the validation of your friendship to Jesus is if you do what He tells you to do. If we love, if we're obedient, if we're unselfish to give, if we stand with Him. Are you a friend of Jesus? If we are, then we'll represent Him with our works and our actions, and we'll act like He did. We'll be known as His friends because we represent Him. We stand for Him. We stand for what He stands for. Do you know that Abraham was given to us in the Old Testament? He was given to us as an example of this because Abraham was called a friend of God. If you go to, and you don't have to turn here, but 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Abraham was called a friend of God. In James chapter 2, Abraham again was called a friend of God. How would you like that as a title? Amen. Boy, what a eulogy that is, right? What else would you want? And God wrote that. Why? Abraham was willing to sacrifice for his friendship with God. Abraham, if you remember in Genesis, Abraham was willing to sacrifice the most precious thing in the world to him, his son Isaac. He took his son Isaac because God told him to take his son Isaac. And he was willing to lay his most precious thing that he waited on and he waited on. He was willing to take that son to the altar on that long journey and lay that son up on the altar and draw back the knife and have the fire and have the wood. His son. Think about your children. You say, "I'm sorry, Pastor Mike, I'm not at that point. I don't know if I'll get at that point." That's a cop out. Listen, I want to tell you something. He gives us a love that can get us to the point. You say, "Well, Abraham, he must not have loved his son." He loved his son. But you know what Abraham knew? Now listen, this is where obedience Obedience can help us over our own deficiencies. Do you know what Abraham knew? If you went back to Genesis and you read chapter 15 of Genesis, you would be able to see that Abraham was told by God, "Hey, Abraham, listen, I'm going to make a covenant with you. You see those stars in the sky? They're innumerable. So are your descendants going to be." So you know what Abraham said? "God told me to offer my son Isaac as a sacrifice. I believe in God so much, I can't have descendants if I don't have sons. So I'm going to do what he says do. I believe in God's plan more than I believe in my plan. Have I got it figured out? No. Do I know all these things? No. But I trust him. He's a friend. He's never let me down. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And what he promises me, he will always fulfill it. So Abraham went with the obedience and reverence to God and did this. You know what God said? "You are my friend." You know why? You believed me. You acted according to what I said. Does anybody want to take their child and sacrifice it? No. But when you know that God is in control and God said, "I'm going to give you more descendants," that means I'm going to give you sons. He went with a full knowledge of saying, "I trust in my friend better than my logic." That's a friend of God, isn't it? Abraham. Now, in the book of James. Yeah, turn to the book of James. I want to finish with this. In the book of James, I want to read you a couple of verses. I think this is pretty neat, and this is what James was saying, verse 21 through 23. He says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with these works, by works with faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Of God. Do you see that in your Bible? And friend there should be capitalized. Do you see that? That's because it became the proper name of Abraham, friend of God. Why? It says because his works proved his faith. Now let's go back to that friend group. It's not just saying, "I'll be there, I'll be consistent." It's showing it, isn't it? You might have a long list of friends that say, but I can almost guarantee you, you don't have a long list of friends that do. That's a big, 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 big difference. Call me if you need me. Just felt like that's what I needed to say. Let me know if there's anything I can do. Oh, I'm not telling you to think about others. Remember, what kind of friend am I? What kind of friend are you? I think the thing that startled me that I began to think of was that even today, if you took me and you judged me and graded me as your friend, it would be a big deal if you put me in a category that says I wasn't one of these. But I began to think, with all this that Jesus said about me, that one day I will be judged by my friend Jesus on our friendship. He has done his part. And my whole judgment will be based on me as a friend of Jesus. Oh, I'm saying it, I'm a friend of God. I say, what a friend I have in Jesus, but what about my end of it? And then after that, then I can begin to think about my friendships with you. How am I doing in that? And that's really important too. What kind of friend have I been to other people? What kind of friend have you been to other people? This category that we can put so many other people in so easy, how have we really been? And I close with this, the last. Don't miss this. You don't want to leave. Listen. verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, I call you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know what he's saying? I'm not even calling you servants. When we say, hey, I want to serve God, yes, we go into it saying we want to serve God. But he's saying, hey, listen, I'm putting you on a different category. You're not classified. Even though you are my servants and you're serving me, I'm not calling you servants. You're not workers. You're my friends. You're not a number at work. You're not Christian number 12,842. You're my friend. It's intimate with me and you. Jesus is saying this. Jesus, henceforth, I call you not servants, I call you friends. Because friends are someone that you share things with. He's saying, the Father shared it with me, so I'm going to share it with you. What's he saying? Hey, listen, here's what I'm going to give you. Number one, you've got the Word of God. You've got the Holy Scriptures, right? This is the mind of God. Then, since you accept me as your friend and you promise to be a servant, I'm not going to call you friends. I'm going to put the third person of God, the Holy Spirit, inside of you, and it's going to speak to you as much as you want to speak to it. It's going to listen to you. It's going to speak to you. It's going to intercede to me. I'm going to intercede to God. This is what Jesus is making, a friend relationship with you. He's saying, hey, don't look at it as servants and friends, as servants and masters. Look at it as friends. Amen. How cool is that? Hey, well, I'm friends with this guy, and he plays ball over for this guy. Hey, I'm friends with Jesus. Top that. He had something to do with making that guy you're friends with. But am I a friend of Jesus? He's my friend. Am I his friend? Is he going to say I'm his friend? If he's taken my life as a whole, here's the canon of my life. How's my part of that friendship looking? How's your part of that friendship looking? I think this is the question today. What kind of friend am I? He wanted me to have a friend-friend relationship with him, not a master-servant relationship. And it's me. I know me. You know you. I don't deserve this level of friendship. Do you? I don't. He stood for me that day. That day he was persecuted, mocked, and beaten, and tortured. And he stands for me every day, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, when I come to him and I say, I've messed up. And he turns to God and said, Jesus, this is, he says, God, Father, this is mine. He's been covered by my blood. He's coming asking for forgiveness. He didn't just stand for me then. He stands for me every day. My friend Jesus is standing, making intercession for me at the right hand of God the Father, even when I mess up. That's a friend, isn't it? Amen. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And come to me when you're labored or heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your weary soul. And then he says, hey, I want your joy to be full. Man, isn't that a great friend? What kind of friend am I to him? And then what kind of a friend am I? Am I showing other people how to be a friend? He said, he's telling his disciples here, hey, if you're true, people are going to see me through you. Ask yourself today, kind of friend am I? Pray with me. Father God, I love you. I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word, your message. I pray, God, you would continually speak it to us. Lord, show us ourselves today, Lord. Thank you for showing me myself, Lord, in this message. And Lord, I ask you just to convict me always. And Lord, let me be ever present of my part in our friendship, Lord. Pray, God, that you would show each person their part today. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's lost, they've never accepted your son Jesus, they've never even began that friendship with him, I pray, God, today they would see their need to be saved. But for Christians today, Lord, that are hearing this message, I pray, God, we would examine where we are with you, what kind of friend we are to you, and then, Lord, in our lives to represent you to all those others, I pray, God, show us ourselves, not other people, but show us ourselves in all these categories. What kind of friend are we to others? In Jesus' name.